Oh, hi. Well, this is an unexpected pleasure. I really didn't think you'd be listening today. You told me you had something to do, and now you show up unannounced. Well, I can handle it. It's just, I just didn't expect that we would do this today. All right, whatever.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Next time, call first.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm excited. I don't know about you.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you here today. It really is. I was kidding around at the beginning of the show that I was surprised that you were going to listen today. I knew you were going to listen, and I'm not surprised, and I always appreciate you. Do you know why I appreciate you? Because you're a special person. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the bus that you take. I'm just saying you're a special person. And I appreciate you. In all of history, I don't think there's been anybody really like you. I didn't say there's been nobody that likes you. I said there's nobody that is like you. God, listen, will you? I'll tell you why you're special. Because you listen to this show. That puts you in a category above everybody else. You're not just one of those people walking around the mall, making believe you're shopping, but you're really just trying to get a lot of steps on your little counter, your little Fitbit. I know what you're doing. And then you stop off at the food court and you eat for 3 hours. Oh, those little food court people that sit there with the sample trays. You just go into a store, change your clothes, come out and get more samples. I know what you do. But that makes you special. You appreciate things that other people don't appreciate. Like this show. You dress kind of odd in order to make yourself different. I appreciate that. You speak your mind even when other people tell you to shut the hell up. And that takes a special person. You march to the beat of your own drum. I never understood what that meant. But it sounds good, and it sounds like it has a lot of rhythm to it. You are special. Nobody is like you. Nobody likes you. Nobody does. But you're really special because you listen to this program, and I appreciate that. Sorry, I'm not supposed to laugh when I'm doing my own bit, but I guess I find myself incredibly funny. I really don't. I find you incredibly funny, too. When I was young, I had a mother and a father, and there was one strange piece of art that hung on the wall in the house in which I was brought up in. My parents didn't have a great affinity of art. There were no Renoirs, Rembrandts. There were no artsy kind of things going on in the house. There were pictures of a cabin in the woods or something like that, or a field of daisies. Not exactly highfalutin art in any sense of the word. I mean, you know, it's kind of cheap art where instead of saying Rembrandt in the bottom right-hand corner, it just said Bob. You know that's not high art. In the hallway of the house in which I was brought up in, there was a picture that freaked me out. Every time I walked down the hallway to go to my room, to go to bed at night, as a young child, there was a picture hanging on the wall. I never understood it, and to this day I never did understand it. Both my parents have passed on to the other dimension. I don't know. So I can't ask them, and I never thought of asking them the question, why was this particular picture hanging on the wall in the hallway of our house when I was growing up? It didn't affect me adversely. It was just freaky. And on the wall, in the hallway of the house in which I grew up, was an oddly shaped picture of a clown. There it sat, hugging the wall in all its glory. And it's almost like when I walked down the hallway, the clown's eyes would follow me. Especially when I went to take a pee in the bathroom. This freaky image was a part of my childhood. And I could never understand why it was there. It was out of place. It was as if Stephen King was my grandfather. But he wasn't, and he isn't. Of course, I haven't checked with Ancestry.com, but I don't think he is. I hope he's not. It gave me an appreciation in my life for, like, overused makeup. I despise clowns in every way, shape, and form. I don't like people that act like clowns. I don't like clowns that act like people. I just don't like clowns. Could it be the way that I was raised as a child with that stupid picture in the hallway? Or am I normal? Well, I don't think the normal part comes into play. Even clown music, that droning calliope crap, that fanciful music arcade is freaky to me. Clown music sounds like the composer was high on some type of drug, which I don't doubt at all. You take that music, you take a picture of a clown, and you've got yourself unbridled insanity. I wouldn't say I'm scared of clowns. I'm concerned for my safety. And I can prove this to you. Not that I need to. I don't have to prove anything to you. Here's the deal. Clowns, let's put it together. An extraordinary amount of makeup on their face, to the point where you need a painter. Not a cosmetician, a painter. Cosmetician, what? What? What are you talking about? Clowns dress strange, too. You never see a clown face in street clothes. That would be ultra freaky, but you don't. Instead, they wear these oversized muumuus with Rembrandt collars red hair that looks like they were stuck in a frizz storm somewhere, a gigantic bulbous nose, their face being any color other than flesh, thus Donald Trump, shoes that don't fit them by like 20 sizes, incredibly horrible bad breath, this I know from experience, lipstick that far exceeds their lips, and these are clowns. These are something that are supposed to endear children. Children are supposed to look at clowns, point at them, and say, that's funny. It's not funny. It's scary, psychopathetic. Did you ever see a clown doll? I think they move on their own at night. I could never sleep in a room with a picture of a clown or a clown doll in the room with me. If somehow that clown doll would acquire a large dagger and begin stabbing things in my room, including me. Clowns are freaky, man. And yet they're supposed to be lovable. And yet when we go to a circus and we see these monstrous little items running around under a circus big top, we're supposed to find that funny. It's not funny. It's strangely odd. What is funny to a clown? A joke about a rabbi who walks into a bar? No. That's not funny to a clown. Here's what humor is to a clown. You pick up a bottle of seltzer, which is like carbonated water for those of you that are under 20 years old, and they spray each other with the water bottle. What could be funnier? Then they run around and they chase each other. And then something explodes like their little car. And instead of fire and brimstone coming out of the car, it's confetti. It's so funny. And the big deal with the clowns is in the circus, of which there are no more circuses, by the way, of any consequence. This tiny little car comes driving into the center ring of the circus big top. And the door of the car opens and like 50 clowns come out of the car. And you don't know if this is a magic trick or they're trying to like mess with your mind. Clowns are odd. They're strange. They don't talk. They run around. They're like, I hate pantomime. When I go to these little street fairs and things like that, there are people who are dressed all in black. They put the white makeup on their face. They're forms of clowns. They're like modified clowns. They don't talk. But for some reason, mimes are always trapped in a box somehow. Do you ever see a mime use a prop? Do you ever see a mime, a street mime, actually take a piece of rope and make believe that they're pulling something? No, they have to make believe they have the rope. Use some props so we can understand what the hell you're doing. And they don't talk. They're very unappreciative. I once said to a street mime after his act, "That was very good. You're very talented." The guy had the nerve not to respond to me at all. I said, is this still part of your act? Or do you have like a speech problem? Maybe you're not a mime at all. Maybe I'm just talking to a person that has a very bad physical disorder. Did I just insult somebody by calling them a mime? It's all too strange. Clowns are sick people. Anybody who wants to portray a clown... You think kids love that? How can you stand amongst kids at a birthday party as a clown and feel like you're an admired kind of entity? You're not. You're to be feared. You should all be locked up in some type of a jail cell in order to keep the public safe. Because someday in the middle of the night, at midnight, you're going to turn into mass murderers. Have you seen the movies at all? Have you gone to the movies? How are clowns portrayed in movies? They are serial killers. They are murderers. They come to life in the middle of the night and they scare the hell out of you. Every single movie that involves the clown is not friendly. The clown is not wonderful. The clown is horrible. The clown is devious. The clown is evil. The clown must be stopped. Don't tell me that a clown is a lovable creature. It is Satan personified with a lot of makeup on. It's not because of the mistreatment of animals that circuses have gone into extinction. It's because of the damn clown. Because no one wants to see that crap anymore. My kids were enjoying the performance until this damn clown came out, scared the hell out of my kid. Clowns have got to be stopped.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
My goodness. I feel like a hot dog.
Hot dogs, armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight. Love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs. Armor hot dogs.
I prefer chihuahuas, but okay. Here's a funny little story. It's not really funny. It's not a little story. I went to the Rhode Island Seafood Festival last weekend. I live in Massachusetts. All right, hold your applause. And I actually went out of state to Rhode Island to a seafood festival. It was a lovely afternoon. There were a lot of food trucks there and tons of food vendors. And the idea is you walk around and you spend your money and you have a lot of clam chowder and a lot of lobster rolls. What is it with a lobster roll? It's a tiny amount of lobster on a hot dog roll and it's $20. I don't know if lobsters understand what kind of money they make. It's too bad they're dead and people eat them because they'd be rich otherwise. Something about lobsters, man. Something about lobsters. Anyway, in some places when you go to buy a lobster, it says market price. Yeah, I know. What other price would I be paying? It's the price at the market. What are you talking about? That scares me. Whenever it says market price, it's like, Ron, you cannot afford this. When you go into a restaurant, they have the price of the hamburger, they have a price of the chicken parmesan, whatever the food is. But when it comes to the lobster, it's market price. Why are you fooling with the price of the lobster so much? Does the price vary that much, really? Well, yeah, Ron. Certain times of the year, lobster's cheap. Other times, it's very expensive. Don't give me that crap. I'm always going to pay the most expensive price in a restaurant, and you know it, no matter what the price of the lobster is, market price. What, do you get somebody from the stock market to come in? I'd like to have the lobster at market price. All right, we have to get, call Joe Finity from, have him come on down from the stock exchange and tell us what the market price is. How are the stocks running on the lobsters these days? What, they're up a quarter? Okay. That'd be $25.20. That's quite an investment. It's a lot of work, you know, to take the lobster meat and put it on a roll. Yeah, that's what most of the charge is, shipping and handling, I suppose. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about? So I went to the Rhode Island Seafood Festival, and people are walking around with lobster rolls. You can tell those people are fairly well off. Nobody in their right mind who was struggling to pay the rent or to pay the make the payment on the car, they're not going to walk around with $20 lobster rolls. They're going to be finding the cheapest thing on the menu, and they'll be eating that. So anyway, I go to the Rhode Island Seafood Festival, and I see the lobster and the clam cakes and the chowders and the raw oysters and the raw little necks, which are clams, by the way. They're not people with little necks. That would be gross. That'd be freakier than the clowns, actually. See, little neck people. look, Bob. There's one of those little neck people over there. Their necks are so small. How do they support their heads? I don't know. They're little necks. They're incredible, aren't they? Isn't it fun to watch? So what do I do? Because I'm not like you and me, because I'm not like me, because I'm not like myself, I'm not interested in the clam chowder, I'm not interested in the lobster rolls, I'm not interested in the fish tacos, I'm not interested in the tilapia burgers. I go right for a particular stand. It's the hot dog stand. For some reason, if I'm outside at a gathering of some sort, I got to have a hot dog. I don't know what it is. Those little cancer sticks are horrible for you, but I'm attracted to them if I'm outside amongst people and there are hot dogs. It's a guilty pleasure. You'd figure I'd have hot dogs behind closed doors or sitting in my closet where no one can see me. Where's Ron? I think he's hiding in the closet eating a hot dog. No, I eat hot dogs in the open, but amongst strangers, not people I know. Barbecue? Gotta have a hot dog. Gotta have it. Throw it on the grill? I don't care what it is. It's gotta be a hot dog. Throw some onions on it. So at this particular location, the Rhode Island Seafood Festival, they had a hot dog stand. And they had chili dog for $3. That's not a bad price. I don't know if that's market price or not, but that's not a bad price at all. $3 for a hot dog. A chili dog. They put chili on it. And I bit into that hot dog, and I knew that it was death warmed over. But it tasted so damn good. And the best part of it, as I was enjoying my chili hot dog, there were no clowns at all at this thing. No clowns at a seafood festival. It was fantastic. Wasn't a clown in sight. And I enjoyed every bite of that hot dog. Every single bite. reminded me of my childhood and my young adulthood. There was a place in the city in which I lived, and it was all they had was hot dogs. It was a hot dog specialty store, but it wasn't a stand. It was a whole indoor place, and they had the best chili dogs, man. And I would eat them every once in a while, not every day, because I wouldn't be alive now if I did that. I was brought up in the New York City area, and to this day, when I go to the city, I've got to have a hot dog from a street vendor. I've just got to. It's part of my culture and my heritage. I was raised by a hot dog. I alluded to the fact that I had parents. I think I had hot dogs. I'm attracted to hot dogs. It's my guilty pleasure. I don't let anybody know about it except you. Love hot dogs. Hey, by the way, just for your information, I do this every single weekday. I know. It's like some type of punishment, isn't it? It's like I committed a crime, and the only way I could work off my bail money is to do this. It's not true, I'm making that up. You can hear us on NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, TuneIn Radio, iTunes. You can hear us on the Alexa thing, the Alexa app person. We're all over the place. Find me and bring me closer to you in a friend way. Do you want to reach me for any reason? Do I owe you money? I don't think I do. If you'd like to be on the program, maybe you've written a book or done something incredibly interesting and you'd like to be on the show, contact me. Or if you have any questions about anything, then don't. It's Ron Van Dam Show at gmail.com. Ron Van Dam Show at gmail.com. That's R-O-N. The rest gets tricky. V-A-N-D-A-M. Show at gmail.com. I must warn you, I tend not to respond to anything. I have a Twitter account. I used it twice in the past year, and I don't plan to use it ever again. You can go to Facebook and join me there, I guess. It's new. I don't even know what it is. I think it's New England Broadcasting, the Ron Van Dam Show, New England Broadcasting Face. I don't know. Just type in the search thing and you'll find me. Although there's no point, I guarantee you, there's no point in doing that. I'm not a social media kind of guy. I have 4 Facebook accounts. Not supposed to, but I do. And I visit them maybe once a year on my birthday to hear people say happy birthday to me who don't know who I am. Makes me feel like I have thousands and thousands of friends. But I guarantee you, I actually do not. At all. No way. You've got to be kidding me. I don't remember this particular book series when I was growing up, Captain Underpants or Captain Underpants, but everybody I know says, Ron, you don't remember Captain Underpants? I said, no. Well, they're still around and bigger than ever, bigger underpants than ever. And the creator of Captain Underpants joins us now. This should be exciting, I assume. I think it is. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing great. Dave Pilkey joins us now. The Dog Man, A Tale of Two Kitties. This is exciting. Has it been out very long?
No, it just came out last week.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Where did Captain Underpants come from?
It actually came from my imagination when I was a child. I was having a lot of trouble in school, and my teacher was always sending me out into the hallway, and I didn't have very much else to do out there, so I started drawing pictures and making up stories about Captain Underpants.
Wow. And this has been going on for 20 years?
Well, in my life, it's been going on for almost 45 years.
I get it. Yeah. So, do you remember the first Captain Underpants? You remember that far back?
I do. I actually remember around the time that it started, my teacher was telling the class a story, and she used the word underwear, and everyone in my class started laughing, and that made her so angry, and she was like, "Boys and girls, underwear is not funny," and we just laughed even harder, and I thought, oh, that's a good idea for a comic. I should do something with that.
That is perfect. And even funnier, of course, underpants. There is nothing funnier in the world than underpants. I mean, because a lot happens. And
I know.
And when you see somebody in their underpants, it's hilarious.
It can be, yes.
Oh, my God. What is the age group widened over the years that are fans?
It actually has. It's interesting when I do an author visit. Sometimes I'll go and I'll talk to kids and parents and teachers. And when kids line up to get their book signed, I'll have five-year-olds, I'll have kids in college. And just recently I've been getting grown-ups who were fans when they were children. And they're bringing their own children who are also fans.
That's great.
I'm feeling very old these days.
We're all feeling very old these days.
Yeah.
And with underpants, even older. What about... Hey, in the movies? Hello? Wow. How did this happen?
You know, it was... I just got very, very lucky. DreamWorks Animation was interested in making a film, and... We got connected with David Soren, who is an amazing writer and director, and he took over the project, and he just created gold. The greatest experience.
Now I understand that you have involvement in the movie itself. Usually, when this happens, you sell the rights over, for them to develop. But how involved were you this time with this kind of thing?
I was actually pretty involved. I was surprised because I'd heard horror stories about this type of thing, but DreamWorks Animation was very, very kind. They wanted as much involvement as I would give, and they actually listened to my ideas, which was very surprising. Yeah. But the nicest thing was hearing the director and getting to know him. And when he told me that, he was telling me, he said, "I don't think Captain Underpants is really about a superhero, is it?" And I was like, no, you're right. And it's really about a creative friendship. And since he got it, I felt like I could kind of step back.
Oh, I got it. Okay, fine. So this is very exciting. So what happens after the movie? They usually do like sequels and stuff. Is that too early?
Oh yeah, we have our fingers crossed for a sequel. Yeah, we're very hopeful. It's coming out on DVD this week, so we're excited about that too.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. So, have you ever had the inclination to take the stories and make them somewhat modern in the sense of what the country's going through at a particular time, or how much of the social conscious do you put into it, or do you try to not let it get into it?
I try not to really let that part of it get into it. The thing that I find most interesting is to see the characters, these two creative characters in Captain Underpants, as they make their own comics, to see them grow up through their artwork, and just to see their ideas get more mature, and to see them, the themes of their stories to get more grown up as they themselves grow up. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, it's when I speak to authors who, write books and novels, they create the characters And then within a couple of chapters, the characters are writing the books for them, almost, you know, physically. Does that happen here as well?
It really does, actually. That's one of the things that surprised me is that George and Harold, the two boys in the Captain Underpants stories, they also create their own comic books, and now they're doing their own spin-offs, and I kind of feel like I'm writing through them.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, our time is short, but it's fascinating to speak to you. As I've been aware of the series, and it's nice to speak to the mind behind it. Give me a list of ways that I can get involved and get my kids involved and all that. Where can I go for more information?
Well, you could go online, pilkey.com. That's just my last name, P-I-L-K-E-Y. Mm-hmm. There's lots of information. And also, my publisher, Scholastic, they have a wonderful website with lots of resources. Scholastic.com. Will also be a great help.
Great. And what's the information on the movie?
It comes out on DVD this week, and I'm hoping we all have our fingers crossed for a sequel. We're very hopeful.
So we can find that on Amazon, etc., everywhere.
Yes, wherever you find movies and DVDs.
Wherever fine movies and DVDs are sold, as we used to say. Dave, pleasure pleasure speaking to you. Continue good
Thanks
luck.
Thanks so much, Ron.
You take
Thank
care.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye. You too. Thank bye-bye. You. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I don't know if that's copyrighted. It probably is the underpants thing. I'm going to start Captain Panties. Captain Underpants and his female cohort, Lady Panties. That's weird.
Now listen here. Uh-oh.
I don't know. I wish I could be a writer. I wrote a book, a couple of books actually. One about childhood and one about weddings. I've been a wedding videographer for decades, and it's the things that I observe at weddings. It's a comedy book. I can't do anything seriously. I'd start talking seriously, then it runs into some type of comedy festival, complete with hot dogs and bizarre clowns. I always had a fantasy that I would write a very successful book and just sit on my ass the rest of my life, which I kind of do anyway, and just collect the royalty checks from the publisher, cash them, and go out and have fun every day. I'm kind of doing that now, though.
Oh,
Time's up. Gotta go. Join me again tomorrow. Surprise me tomorrow again. And we'll do another show. I'm going to change the words and talk about different things, and there'll be a different guest, but basically, it's the same damn thing every day. I wish you peace.